The following podcast is part of a special oral history program titled The RSL, A Time to Celebrate 2021. The program documents fascinating and personal stories and experiences of veterans, war widows and partners right across South Australia. The program is in partnership with the Tanunda RSL sub-branch, Christian Teusner from the Emu Tree, and has received funding through the Saluting Their Service Commemorative Grants Program via the Department of Veteran Affairs. I encourage listeners to take their time to explore as many of these stories and adventures as possible. For further information, visit theemutree.com. Today is the 30th of July, 2021. I'm sitting here with Ernest Stewart Esplin. Ernie, thank you very much for agreeing to talk with me today.
Ernest Stewart Esplin, is the E-W-A-R-T, Esplin, A-S-P-L-I-N, born on the 13th of January 1946. It was 110 degrees and I was born in Wakery. I was in 85 Transport Platoon. I got married, it was real funny, I got married before I went over there and I thought, you know, my number come up like, you know, I got pulled out of the barrel. Then I've been a legatee. I'm still president of the Morgan Lions Club. They won't kick me out. And I get all their bloody, all their minutes of their meetings.
You mentioned there that you were born in Wakery.
Yeah, I lived at Morgan. We had a baker shop in Morgan. Now, Blackie down near at the pub.
At Kapunda?
Yeah, it's on the right hand side.
Yeah.
He'd come from Morgan, he had the baker shop after us. And my son was a wakeboarder. And he could do 10 inverts. Like I'd drive the boat, I had the caravan park at Morgan.
Okay.
And every night after he'd come home from high school, I'd take him down the river and he could do hootsie glides and, you know, on the wakeboard.
Sounds like great fun.
He cut out really wide and then he'd come in and woof. My other daughter lives in Queensland and she's an art teacher.
Wonderful. So can you tell me a little bit about growing up in Morgan? Yeah. What are some of your childhood memories?
I've got 10 pages of that. My father was a baker. And he used to give me sixpence during the Depression, when the bloody mouse plague, for every mouse I caught in the place where you keep the flour, the flour room. Anyway, they started running out, so I recycled them till he caught me. You know, like when you catch a mouse, there's a strip across it. And I used to put it in the bin and they was running out. And I was getting on a good wicket in those days, so I'd pull them out the thing. Look, Dad, I caught another mouse.
How long did you get away with that one for?
Oh, for a while. If you don't believe me, ask Faye. My Faye's 10 years older than me and she's got a terrific memory. And my other sister was 10 years old again. She was 85 when she died. I'm pretty good at handiwork. I made a sleigh and I put that on the front lawn every year. And that was in the parade at Morgan. And the bloody outside cop come half an hour after the roads opened up. You have to get permission to shut the bloody roads off. He got pinched for driving without a seatbelt on. Yeah, I'm a little bastard. And the outside cop come, he says, piss off. The local cop was good. He lived alongside of me. I lived alongside of my father, had a stroke. We put a blunt's house up for him. Now I got a Jag, and my mate at Morgan had someone had another Jag, and the tree fell on it, and I got chrome spoke wheels on it. And yep. I got an old white Commodore, sometimes Dinger brings it up, that's my son-in-law. He brings it up from Adelaide. He got it all done up for me. Beautiful it is.
Yeah.
Oh, six cylinder. I tell you, it was in the historical society. It was Herbie Pollard, and he had a T model Ford. There's a lady, her son's in here now. She's terrific. She's one of the nurses, and he's in here.
When did you come to Kapunda?
About 6 months ago. What happened was, I was going to go to Queensland. My daughter was having a baby on January the 1st. And I went up there, I was like this. I used to drink a lot of beer, and I was 110 kilograms. I had a stroke down the left side. My father had a stroke down his right side. And I used to have to get in there and bath him. And we built a blood house in Morgan, and that's where we lived. And I used to have to get in there, lift him out. And my sister, Faye, she couldn't get him out. They had the mobile service station in Morgan. And she actually brought me up because my mother died. And my father went to the home for incurables, Fullerton.
Mm.
And that's where I come back when I come back from Vietnam. When I come back from Vietnam, I staked my knee. I got two stainless steel knees and one stainless steel hip. PTSD, oh shit, I'm bad with that. That's why I got to keep that door shut. Any shout, loud noises, I jump like shit. True, I'm really affected with PTSD. The ministers come and they're talking about, you know, getting on with other people and all that. I know they keep mentioning Vietnam and all that, and that brings back memories. All the things inside of there, the tents and all that, exactly the way it used to be when I was over there.
You were called up to service?
Yeah. The number come up, 4718294, I think it was.
How did you feel about Vietnam before you went? Was it something that you were worried about, or was it a big adventure? Or?
It was a real funny story. I got married before I went over there. I was 21, and my wife was under 21, she was only 20. And I come back from Vietnam to Mooloolaba, and they wouldn't let me in the RSL because she wasn't 21. They had poker machines in there, rotten bastards. Anyway, when I come back, I joined the Morgan one, and I've been the Morgan one ever since. And there's only about four of us left out of the Vietnam boys. We used to go down there and play darts and got a full-size billiard table like I got at home. I got one home. We'd play indoor bowls. Yeah, anyway, we used to get together. And so did 85 Transport Platoon. I used to get together every 2 years. I'd go and find out who's gone, you know, people to go dinghy and all that sort of thing. You get Alzheimer's diseases and all that sort of shit.
What was your role?
Of 85 Transport Platoon, 1966 I think it was. I'm 75 now.
What do you remember about your school days?
I was a prefect. I remember going from Morgan. We had a primary school at Morgan, and then that shut down because there wasn't enough kids. And I used to have to go to Wakery, and I was a prefect up there. I used to bus all the kids around on the bus, sit down and shut up.
Were they good times for you, Ernie?
Oh, yeah. I played all sports, and so did my family. My daughter-in-law in Queensland, she used to be the roller derby. You bash them and flick them around. She was pretty good. She come down to South Australia.
Okay.
And my son was a wakeboarder, and he won the state titles for the junior wakeboarding championship. He could do 10 inverts. His favourite one was a hoochie glide. He'd go out wide, hit the wake, and then he'd fly out and flatten out, and then he'd land it out in the water.
How often would you take the boat out then to practice?
Right after school. He went to high school too, Wakery, and I used to take him out. And my daughter used to go with Rashudio, because my wife lived on the corner at Ramco where Rashudio lives, Mark Rashudio. And I went to school with Murray and Carol Rashudio, and they play, they were good footballers too.
So what memories do you have of your football days?
Oh, we had 12 in the team over 6'2", and I was pretty good.
What position did you play?
Full forward or full back. I got stopped with Joe from kicking 100 goals one season. He had the last match in 99, I didn't let him get in. And I'm pretty good at cricket. I caught this, we had a mongrel at bloody Wakery. His name was Everest. Anyway, I dived forwards and caught him like that, and I rolled over and showed everybody, look, there it is. Another funny story. It was two pubs in Morgan, and my dad, during the Depression, you know, like what I was telling you, we had a horse and buggy. We used to go over to Cadell, and Hoitzy used to say, hey Herbie, does anyone want to see a snake today? And I'd say, yes. He'd put his hand in the bloody bag and he'd put the snake up like this, twist it, and it'd come up halfway and then go back down again. Anyway, he used to come over to the Morgan pubs. There's two pubs in Morgan. And he put his bag on the bar and the publican would give him a pint of beer to get rid of him. Then he'd go over to the other pub and get another pint to get rid of him.
You've met a few characters along the way.
Oh, yeah.
So did you spend all of your life in Morgan?
Yep, except for when I went to Vietnam and I went to Queensland because my daughter's having a baby. She had the first baby for the year. Her father and her were into karate. He's pretty good at karate. He got a black belt, so she.
Yep.
She can do, kick the boards and break three boards. You know that?
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And my grandson, he got woolly hair like this, and he's hurt his wrist playing football. And he's real good at, now he's a music teacher. And he's there, like apprentice music teacher.
You mentioned that you were writing a book at the moment about your life.
Yeah.
Can you give me a few samples of what's going to be in the book?
Well, like this mouse thing and this thing where Hoitzer used to, you know, used to go over the river with, in this awesome buggy. And Hoitzer would say, hey Herbie, he was bow-legged by Dad. He was a pretty good footballer too. He had a few games with Glenelg.
So football has been a big part of your life?
Oh shit, yeah.
Yeah?
Football and any sport, the kids, I always took them to the sport. Like football with me, even Anthony, he was a good footballer too. Not quite as good as me. Yeah. But he was good at wakeboarding. I couldn't even wakeboard now. He said, we made the first wakeboard boat that had in Morgan. I put this 8-foot pole up and I had a strap from the front of the boat to the top of the pole and one either side, and I weighed the boat down with the cement and sand at the back to get the wake. It was a real old boat, you know, not one of these big wake boats like they got these days, these $90,000 boats. I just had this real old, still got it. Yeah, you could do a dry start, or we used to go in the races at Morgan. They used to have Morgan races.
Mm-hmm.
Get that. My boat wasn't that very fast. It was only a V6, wasn't a V8. It's all right. Yeah. Anyway, you lay in the water, put your legs over the bloody rope, bounce on your bow and stand up and barefoot. Boy, they had another thing where they used to run down the bank and put their things on and then jump in the water and do it, you know, touch hands and all that.
So you were always the driver?
Mm. I couldn't wakeboard myself, but I taught him how to wakeboard.
So could you tell me a little bit about your wife, Ernie, and how you met your wife? Where did you meet?
At high school.
What was your wife's name?
Geraldine Cabot. Well, she went to the same school.
How many children have you had?
Well, the first one was, the first one died of cancer. She had a Wilms tumour. She went to grade one and she won a race. You know, she was born with it. And I used to go back to the children's hospital all the time.
That must have been so hard.
Yeah, it was. Wife died of cancer. Mother died of cancer. My father had a stroke. And my sister brought me up. We used to have housekeepers in the house. We put a blood's house in Morgan, opposite the police station. I still got all the cars and all that there now. And the boat. I got a mate that goes down and takes them for a run. And Dingo, my son-in-law, he goes up. He goes to, his son plays football down at McLaren Vat, McLaren Vale. Remember, when I was young, these Holland blinds, you know a Holland blind? You pull them down like that and you cock it, and you pull it down again and you cock it. You pull it down again and you cock it, and you got a string on it. We used to sit at the kitchen table, I had the string under me arse. And Grandma Gear was sitting there, and I'd go, psst, and go bang and frighten the shit out of everyone.
I bet you got a telling off for that, did you?
Yeah. In those days, you didn't have heaters and all that. You had a chip heater, like a metal stove, and you load it up with wood. She'd sit there in front of that and the bloody sweat had come down off her forehead and off the wart on her nose.
So what other things did you get up to as a kid? Sounds like you used to have a bit of mischief.
Oh, we had bloody horses. We used to race horses across the river. And I was that shit frightened, I was going to trample me to death. I swam like hell and I beat the bloody horses across the river.
Is that you holding that fish up there in the photo?
Yeah, I caught that. I got a mate up in Queensland, and his son has got a trawler. He's a professional fisherman, and he knows where to go. They have these tender boats out the back like that. Tender boats they tow them behind, and you go fishing by hand. And I said, Bruce, hey, wake up, I've got a big fish here. It was a bloody whale. A whale come up, whoosh, fucking water went in the air. I'm the only one I ever caught a whale on a bloody fishing line, only because it got tangled in the bastard.
So you like fishing? Fishing's something you've always done?
Yeah. Marlene, my girlfriend, she hates fish, she hates the smell of it, but whenever she comes here, I go down to Blackie's pub and they have calamari. It's bloody beautiful. I love calamari. Mm-hmm. And you've got to cut it up, let it cool down.
So when you returned from Vietnam, what did you do when you came back to Australia?
Well, I jumped off a water tower and put a star picket in my knee. And they brought me back medevac. Two stainless steel knees and a stainless steel hip.
Whereabouts in Vietnam were you?
Vung Tao. We used to go to Vung Tao to Nui Dat. And the thing was, we had a helicopter at the front and the helicopter at the back. And then we had an armoured personnel carrier in the front of all the trucks. We had Mark 3 and Mark 5 Enders. And air brakes. If you put the bloody brakes on real quick, all the bloody troops would go like this shit. I was pretty lazy and I thought, stuff it, I'm going to dry if I'm not bloody. Yeah, I was only over there a little while, but I'm pretty good at drawing, though. I like drawing horses or any sort of animal. You get the nostrils and the cats and all that, and you can draw the mouse and the horse got a big nostril. Not bragging, but I'm pretty good.
So you mentioned the caravan park in Morgan.
I had that. I leased it off the council for 10 years. I put in all the TV outlets. me and my mate Ronnie Macris, there's 98 sites, and we had to dig it up to put silage in. While I was putting silage in, I said to Ronnie, can we put, you know, one TV antenna right up there? It was real good. People used to come and watch the TV. You put a cable like this under the TV, and it's either 300 or 300, that's a round one, or a two pin one. It goes on the back of your set, and everyone had a bloody power outlet.
So was that, did you enjoy that? That time, that period?
Oh shit, you used to have some fun down there. I used to drink like hell. I was 110 kilograms. I drank that much. I used to make my own homebrew.
What would you get up to?
Oh, mischief. Borough boys, they come there one day and they was going up the cliff up the back of the caravan park, and I said, oh, that's weak as piss. I had a Morris 1100. Look, I've got front wheel drive. You watch me. And halfway up there and stuck it on the bloody tree. I said, hey, come and help me get it down. They said, no, you silly bastard, you got it up, you get it down.
You must know everybody in Morgan.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And everybody in Morgan must know you.
Oh, shit, yeah. Well, for starters, I was a legatee. I'm in the Lions Club. I'm president of that still. They won't kick me out. They keep sending me bloody minutes. There's a meeting on bloody Tuesday night, and this happened at the last meeting. Everyone that ever played football or netball in Morgan I knew.
So you're a bit of a Morgan legend?
Yeah. Well, I reckon I am.
I get a headshot, a photograph of your
ugly face. I said to Anthony, hey, this is what you're going to look like in your bloody, when you're 75. I'll tell you another funny story. I had a bike up in Queensland, but it was a lady's bike, you know, with a small seat. Oh, my quads were hurting. Anyway, they said, you won't be able to. I said to my son, I pointed him on the chest, I said, hey, son, I was riding a push bike before you was even born. I rode it up there. And the bloody gears were hard. When I worked the gears out, it was real easy. I rode up about half a mile up the road and half a mile back. And when I was coming back, I was showing off and had my leg out, and they got on video. I was a show-off prick too.
You're an entertainer. Yeah. So you obviously loved dealing with people, looking at running Caravan Park. And yeah.
I was 14 when I played my first A-grade match at Morgan, and Jock Carnes from Cadell run Arso Red, knocked me over and picked me up and said, sorry lad, my brother-in-law Peter Bampton, his father plays, he got a McGarry medal for Port Adelaide. He ran straight over the top of him. That's the days when he had the sprigs with the nails in them, and he ran straight over the bloody top of him. He's a real mongrel. And Faye still goes out with Jock Gordon's wife, and she's very friendly with him. She said, you'll never ever forget that. He picked Ernie up, the poor little lad. He's as skinny as a rake in those days.
Ernie, thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you, and thank you for sharing some stories with me.
You have been listening to The RSL, A Time to Celebrate, 2021.